Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's July the 26th, 2006. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, the staff here at WILL will talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Kay Whitlock of Terre Haute Grain in Terre Haute, Indiana. In between, we'll hear some stories from Aaron Abata. He's a specialist in human development at the University of Illinois College of Agricultural, Consumer, and Environmental Sciences. And don't forget, just after the bottom of the hour on Wednesdays, we always talk with Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City. It all happens on this Wednesday edition of AM 580's Closing Market Report.
Did you miss the Closing Market Report or some of our other agricultural programming? We've got the answer. You can get all our AM 580 agricultural shows delivered daily directly to your computer. Just go to our website, WILOAG.org, and look for the headline, subscribe to AM 580 Ag Podcast. Follow the simple steps, and you'll never miss an ag broadcast again. From the pre-opening and opening ag reports to the closing market report to Commodity Week, all delivered to your computer when you need it. Head on over to WILOAG.org and put the AM 580 Agricultural Podcasts to work for you.
The Carle Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety, a division of Carle Foundation Hospital, is proud to underwrite agricultural programming at WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-4606.
Well, it was a down day on the Chicago Board of Trade and also in the Kansas City Board of Trade in the wheat markets. Technical selling was pretty much driving the market. Weather also playing a role. The rains, scattered rains around some of the growing regions kept the corn and soybeans down. The September wheat contract in Kansas City ended down 8.5 cents a bushel today, 11.25 on the nearby September contract on the Chicago Board of Trade, December down 9.25. September corn in Chicago closed down 3.5 cents, December down 3.25, March down 3. August beans closed down 3.5 cents, September 3.5 as well, lower, and November at 4.25 cents. Joining us now to look at the futures market today is Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. Good morning or good afternoon, Paul.
Hi, Tom. Beautiful day here in Oakland.
You get some rain, so I guess that's got to be good.
Well, we just a drizzle, fizzle, and then basically the better rains, of course, were in Iowa and probably in parts of northern Illinois. We did understand that Sue Martin had over 2.5 inches on her farm in Webster City, Iowa, and of course you could sure tell she loved that rain event, but it was good news. The weather forecasters were rather tricky, predicting heat. Some people stopped there, but the rest of the story is on the very extended models are very encouraging that we can see a breakdown of those ridge and ultimately a rain event in the Midwest, particularly in the east part of the Mississippi on the extended forecast. I think that was the big load that broke the bull market today was the anticipation of a change on some of the new models encouraging more corn production in the August crop production report.
So the traders look to pass that heat wave that may be coming next week, knowing that it may be sort of temporary.
That's correct.
How about the wheat, though? We saw bigger drops on the two exchanges.
Well, there's a rumor that the Chinese are going to sell feed wheat into the marketplace, and of course that's an interesting concept because we understood that the Chinese possibly would even buy corn and wheat, and now they're selling feed wheat in the marketplace. That's kind of a depressant on feed grains in the world, but also it does indicate that there was a harvesting problem, either damage, we think of feed wheat, low test weight, or feed wheat, something that's not milling quality and has to go out into the feed market. There is a ready market for that commodity in the world, is a corn substitute. So that was the market, and also anticipation of harvesting in the spring wheat areas all added up to lower closes in the three major pits. Also, I wanted to share with you that on C-section in the Wall Street Journal, there's an article there about how corn became like Las Vegas. And it's a very optimistic several, you know, two pages of better times in the Midwest, particularly raising corn. And I think everyone should take a peek at it because it is an interesting article. And I kind of endorse some of the concepts.
Well, we'll take a look at that. In the wheat market, was there also some technical activity there? That's
well, definitely. The wheat market's been loaded up with long positions, and we did continue to see that trend continue. We did close yesterday under the 40-day moving average. Could there have been spreading between corn and wheat? Sure. There could be intercommodity spread liquidation, yes. The general feeling is that maybe there's even some, with these higher wheat prices, we get the feeling there is going to be more wheat planted in the Midwest and the West. But nonetheless, our basis levels are the cheapest in the world. We do know that there is a demand for good milling quality wheat where the U.S. market is supreme and has the supply. So people are very alert that there could be a big U-turn as far as the wheat market's concerned. But let's face it, today the bears had full control of it and the market sold off.
What do the technicals look like in the corn and bean markets? Any similarities
there? Well,
definitely
the trend is still down. People are playing the yield equation. Some are saying 151, 152 yield per acre on the national crop. Equates down to about $2.40 on the Dease corn. Definitely the trend is down in the bean market. The big basic common denominator that excites everybody in the soybean market is that there's over a $10 to $12 billion loss the last 2 years in raising soybeans in South America. Major fertilizer and grain exporting companies, you know, have some major problems down there collecting money from farmers. It isn't really profitable anymore to raise an acre of soybeans in South America. So the acreage expansion is going to probably stop. There could be even acreage reduction down there. All adds up to some better prices after harvest here in the U.S. We do have a big supply of beans, but at some point in time, we're going to be in the driver's seat here producing beans for profit, and that's what the name of the game is.
In the near term, what do producers note in this market?
Well, we do know near term that there's about 47 to 50 million bushels of loan beans going to come in at the end of the July. So the market is anticipating that. After that, August weather is going to be on the top burner of every commodity trader's mind, and that's going to basically give the price direction of 50 cents up or 50 cents down going into the harvest time frame. Our general opinion is that we're not going to go to $5 a bushel, but we could go 25 cents down in here just on wonderful rainfalls in that first 10 days of August.
Cattle market jumped up again today on the Merck. What's behind that?
Well, the cattle market, interesting fact, we finally opened up some of the doors to Japan. Hopefully that goes through. It was possibly fun buying. It was a little bit of oversold, but still the fundamentals in the cattle market still have some problems with basically big numbers of cattle on feed, and also the cash price is $3 to $4 over where the futures market is. It's going to be interesting to play out who's right, the futures market or cash. Our bet is that the cash market will pull the futures down in the next 2 weeks.
All right. Thanks, Paul.
Have a nice day, Tom.
You too. Paul Cooley is with ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. He joins us every Wednesday afternoon on the Closing Market Report and Wednesday mornings on the Opening Market Report.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible in part by a grant from Risk Management Commodities, with offices in Chalmers and Lafayette, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities provides commodities analysis and recommendations for business and agriculture throughout East Central Illinois and Western Indiana. For information, call 866-837-9027.
At the bottom of the hour, Drew Lerner with World Weather Incorporated will join us for a look at the agricultural weather. AM 580's Mike Solis says for tonight, cloudy, scattered showers and thunderstorms, some decent coverage over much of the area. Lows ranging from 68 in northwest Illinois to 74 in southwest Illinois. He says about a half inch of rain in the Illinois River Valley through northeast Illinois with half inch totals, 30 to 40% coverage, a little less rain in the south, although some isolated areas are likely to see locally heavy amounts.
The closing market report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming on AM 580 as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at a6395.com and at agrigold.com.
For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason, away this week, of course, on assignment in the Ukraine. Up next, a couple of stories with Aaron Abata. He's an Extension Human and Community Development Specialist here on the U of I campus. Parents of autistic children often find navigating everyday schedules frustrating. But there's a pilot program right here in Champaign County that's aimed at better coordinating government and school district services. Classically speaking, autistic children have trouble communicating and developing relationships. Their language skills, they usually lack, and abstract concepts are hard for them to understand. Their parents, more often than not, are usually very understanding, but also frustrated. The schedules most of us take for granted can be difficult to manage. That's why a group at the University of Illinois in Urbana-Champaign has teamed with the local Autism Network, says U of I Extension Human and Community Development Specialist Aaron Abata.
So we've brought together a group consisting of University of Illinois faculty, parents in the community, educators from the school districts, different social service agencies, and public officials to try and come up with a plan for our community on how we can enhance these services. Part of the problem is that there are a lot of well-meaning people within agencies and schools, but oftentimes they don't have the support or budgets to do the kind of jobs they want to do. And oftentimes it's difficult to communicate and coordinate services. So what we want to do in bringing these groups together is to have a way that people can communicate and to work together on issues that are often bigger than just any one agency or school by itself.
Issues, says Abata, like developing ways for parents and autistic kids to get help at home rather than just at the school. He says some parents really need help at the house. And the need goes much deeper.
Just being able to get a diagnosis sometimes is very challenging. It takes a special level of expertise. If parents don't have the resources to have access to, say, you know, our major hospitals, oftentimes it's difficult. So diagnostics is a challenge. Another is respite care for parents. You know, it's very stressful sometimes for parents. They need a break. We have an agency here in town that does provide some respite care, but again, for a lot of parents, it's not at the level that they sometimes want or really need. Partly it's a funding issue, and partly it's having the availability of trained people who can handle kids with special needs.
Another big issue is the transition to adulthood when kids leave the school district. Aaron Abata and other University of Illinois staff, along with the CU Autism Network in Champaign County, are working to ease that and many other transitions. The project is funded by the Family Resiliency Initiative on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. The project with autistic children is just one of many that Aaron Abata has happening in his life here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the U of I. Another is something you can see right out there on the web. It's called www.parenting247.org. The website's called Parenting247. The address is the same, Parenting247, all one word, parenting followed by the numbers 2, 4, and 7, .org, or org. It's a place where people can come for advice from experts or other parents, says University of Illinois Extension Specialist in Human and Community Development, Aaron Abata.
And so we have a lot of video clips of real parents talking about real issues and how they've tried to cope with those issues. And we also have expert advice. We have research-based articles. We have links to websites. And we have the ability for parents to sort of comment on the videos and the articles to weigh in on what they think about the advice that's being given.
There's advice on the website for how to deal with newborns and teenagers, how to approach a colicky baby, and to talk to your kids about sex and drugs, and all the things in between.
Right now, for the teenagers, is focused a lot on sort of issues that might be problematic. But we're going to be focusing more on other kinds of issues, like helping them figure out what they need to do to prepare for the future. How to deal with issues of friendship and the problems that come with friendship. How to deal with managing multiple kinds of activities. So teenagers these days can get really busy. Right now we have a lot of information for parents in general of kids of all ages of, you know, how do you help your child figure out where to spend their time, how to spend their time, how to slow down if they need to, as well as how to juggle things that have to be juggled.
For those first years, Ibata says there's even a newsletter. Just sign up, give the site your child's birth date, and the first 3 years of their life, the U of I will email you information on the kinds of changes you should see as your baby grows into a toddler. You can check out the Parenting 24/7 website at parenting247.org. We'll move away from raising kids now to raising crops and get a little closer to production agriculture. The group tasked with watching farm income in the state of Illinois is worried that 2006 may not be the best of years. You'll hear that story with Dale Lance. Last year, farm income in the state of Illinois was down sharply. It was about half of the 2004 season. Granted, 2004 was an anomaly, with much higher than average income across the state. But 2005 Illinois farm income was more on par with recent averages. 2006, well, that one worries Dale Lance. He's a farm business management specialist at the University of Illinois. He sees the numbers from more than 3,000 farms in the Illinois FBFM Farm Business Farm Management Record Keeping Association.
The couple things, you know, with most of these farms being grain farms, obviously yields are a big factor. And today we don't know what yields are going to be for 06, but we do know costs have still stayed up at relatively high levels. We haven't seen the drop in fertilizer, chemical, or seed or fuel that maybe we thought would incur. So we know those cost inputs are going to be up there. The other thing, unfortunately, I think from a cost standpoint, talking to some lenders, that's going to come into play a little more in 06 is some higher interest costs.
Interest rates have been on the rise, and most farmers borrow operating capital. Those expenses include the higher energy cost. It is, to say the least, a double whammy down on the farm.
So you got higher rates plus maybe more money being borrowed, which is going to raise that cost component also. So I think we're in a situation where we need, at least average or above average gross, whether it's due to good yields or good yields and good prices or that some kind of combination there to kind of cover the bills and come out fairly well at the end of the year.
The costs of fertilizer, chemical, seed, and fuel were all higher in 2005 and are even higher this year. Those four are the primary operating expenses on a grain farm. Last season, producers in the state of Illinois, FBFM, spent $15,000 more on those four items, and their incomes reflected that loss. This year, the costs are higher, and so are the interest rates. Many are counting on good yields and higher prices at the elevator to make up the difference. Neither of those are a given. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Did you miss the closing market report or some of our other agricultural programming? We've got the answer. You can get all our AM 580 agricultural shows delivered daily directly to your computer. Just go to our website, willoag.org, and look for the headline, subscribe to AM 580 Ag Podcast. Follow the simple steps, and you'll never miss an ag broadcast again. From the pre-opening and opening ag reports to the closing market report to Commodity Week, all delivered to your computer when you need it. Head on over to WILOAg.org and put the AM 580 Agricultural Podcasts to work for you.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Mike Morris in McHenry at 815-344-7213. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
Joining us now for a look at the cash grain market on this Wednesday is Kay Whitlock of Terre Haute Grain in Terre Haute, Indiana. Good afternoon, Kay.
Good afternoon to you, Tom.
How are we looking as far as basis goes?
Well, we talked last week about basis, and it continues to erode a little bit. Train values are probably 2 to 3 cents weaker than they were when we last talked. We have not reflected it back to the farmer, but as the loans come due and farmers clean out their bins, I think this basis will either stay stagnant or probably trend on down right into harvest from here.
Has anything changed over that time?
Pardon?
Has anything changed over that time?
I don't know what you mean.
Basis remains the same, that sort of thing?
Well, I just said I think it'll stay stagnant or erode into harvest because whenever you see a lot of grain moving, well, the basis is going to get weaker, and I can't see any reason for it to get better right now.
Mm-hmm. How is processor demand been?
Processor demand is it's okay. I mean, there's certainly no shortage of anything. We've got plenty of corn and beans to last until we get into harvest time. Farmers are hanging on to a lot of stuff. I think probably that we've seen the highs in corn. Beans we've still got a shot at because August is a very important time for beans, and we're about 8 to 9% behind in maturity as far as blooming and potting is concerned. So we bought a lot of corn from the farmers yesterday. I think they're starting to give up a little bit. We even bought a little new crop stuff. So I think probably we've seen the highs in corn, and heat's supposed to come back in the Western Corn Belt next week, so I think the downside may be limited, but upside potential continues to erode as well, Tom.
And let's get a look at your prices then.
All right, cash corn is $2.11, cash beans $5.63, and wheat is $3.09.
All right, thanks a lot, Kay.
Uh-huh.
Kay Whitlock is with Terre Haute Grain in Terre Haute, Indiana.
Agricultural information on AM 580 is made possible with support from Lincoln Land Agri Energy in Palestine, Illinois, producing a renewable fuel with corn bought directly from the farmer. More information at 800-586-2321 or online at lincolnlandagrienergy.com.
In about 2 minutes, I'll talk with agricultural meteorologist Drew Lerner about the weather. Your local newscast comes up in about a minute.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jim Meadows. Authorities in Vermilion County hope an autopsy later this afternoon will provide clues as to why Ryan Ketcher's pickup truck ended up in the bottom of a pond at Kickapoo State Park. The body of the missing U of I student was found inside the truck yesterday, 5.5 years after his disappearance. Vermilion County Coroner Peggy Johnson says the cold water kept Ketcher's body relatively well-preserved, making it more likely the cause of death can be determined. The Jackson County, Indiana prosecutor says a 17-year-old began firing at vehicles on 2 Indiana interstates after he argued with his family over dressing a deer. Zachariah Blanton appeared in court today to face charges of murder, attempted murder, and criminal recklessness. A Minnesota man died today after a skydiving mishap at the Rantoul Airport. Champaign County Coroner Dwayne Northrup says 57-year-old Mark Foster of Eaton Prairie died after striking a parked vehicle while attempting to land. Rantoul is currently hosting the World Freefall Convention. A former lawmaker and federal judge is now leading the Illinois Human Rights Commission. Governor Rod Blagojevich today appointed Abner Mikva as chairman of the commission that handles discrimination complaints made under state law. He replaces J.B. Pritzker, who leaves the post after being appointed to it by the governor in 2003. Cardinal Francis George of Chicago will undergo surgery tomorrow after being diagnosed with bladder cancer. A spokeswoman for the Catholic Archdiocese of Chicago says George sought treatment about 2 weeks ago after seeing blood in his urine. She adds that the 69-year-old cardinal is asking everyone to pray for him. Three Democratic lawmakers from the Bloomington, Indiana area are taking their opposition to an I-69 toll road to the federal government. State Senator Vi Simpson and State Representatives Matt Pierce and Peggy Welch say the I-69 extension would spur less economic development than a free highway. The Champaign City Council has endorsed the erection of honorary street signs remembering artist Billy Morrow Jackson, who died last month at age 80. The signs will go up on White Street from Prospect to New. Jackson's studio was located on that street. Jackson painted and taught in Champaign-Urbana for 50 years. His contemporary realist landscapes and murals earned him a national reputation. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. I'm Tom Rogers, in for Todd Gleason. Joining us now for a look at the agricultural weather is Drew Lerner. He's the senior agricultural meteorologist of World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Good afternoon, Drew.
Good afternoon, Tom.
We got some needed rain in parts of the growing areas.
Yeah, it was a good night last night across portions of Iowa and Illinois. I think quite a few areas picked up on some healthy amounts of rainfall. It was certainly a step in the right direction, but unfortunately, stepping back and looking at the big picture, I'm not quite sure the difference is going to be all that great for very much of the region. We do have a new heat wave I can't talk this afternoon, terribly sorry. But we do have a new round of hot weather coming up for a big part of the western Corn Belt and portions of the plains. This will take place starting tomorrow and continuing through Tuesday of next week. Now, most of the eastern Midwest, areas east of the Mississippi River, will see most of the warm weather occur Sunday through Tuesday, while the western Corn Belt will probably encounter most of its hottest conditions Friday and Saturday, maybe a little bit on Sunday as well. Temperatures back solidly in the 90s to over 100 degrees will occur in the western Corn Belt. Wouldn't surprise me at all to see South Dakota suffer once again with temperatures over 110 degrees. When the heat comes into the eastern part of the Corn Belt, there's so much moisture on the ground that the humidity will be very, very high. This will create some oppressive conditions, very, very stressful for livestock, absolutely. Most of the crops, though, will probably benefit from the warmer weather in the eastern belt just simply because it's been so wet here recently. The warmth and the humidity that will be around will actually help to stimulate better crop development down the road. For the western belt, where we have drought conditions still occurring, this situation that's evolving is going to be more punishing than that which occurred about 10 days ago because the ground is already dry, whereas when we started the last heat wave, we were doing all right with that subsoil moisture, but we aren't anymore. These crops will not be able to tolerate more than a day's worth of heat without suffering some kind of stress that would be definitely threatening to production.
So there's talk, though, that heat wave may be limited or may have a fairly short life?
Well, it will have a short life, but 4 days of temperatures in the upper 90s and lower 100s in an area that's already in the middle of its pollination and without any moisture in the ground is still going to have a detrimental impact, especially since these crops have no moisture to tap into deep in the ground to make a big difference. So, yeah, it's definitely short-lived. That might buy some time, certainly for the soybean crop, because soybeans can very easily take a little break for a few days and wait for better conditions. But the corn crop that's reproducing in Minnesota, northwestern Iowa, the Dakotas, and parts of Nebraska, and even Wisconsin will probably experience some worsening conditions there, and I do think there'll be some further losses in the production potential.
Tell me briefly what you're looking at elsewhere in the world.
Well, we have some drying that's underway right now in parts of China. That's not necessarily causing a big problem today, but maybe 10 days from now we'll be talking about some dryness in some of their unirrigated summer crop areas. So we'll keep an eye on that. India's weather this summer has really come around nicely after a very poor start where it was quite dry in June. We're seeing some timely rains in all of their major coarse grain and oilseed producing areas at this point, and that's going to continue for the next couple of weeks. So India is no longer on our watch list. Argentina is going to pick up on some needed rainfall here in the next 48 hours. Argentina's wheat country has been way too dry, and the crop has been not well established at all. This will change that rather significantly, so we'll be watching that overnight in the markets to see if they react negatively to that precipitation. And finally, in Europe, We've had a tremendous 2-week period of hot, dry weather that has zapped all the moisture out of the topsoil. The entire continent right now is running very short on topsoil moisture. The subsoil moisture situation is in decline as well. We've got just a few days left in this little heat wave, and I think we'll start seeing some relief there.
All right. Thanks, Drew.
Have yourself a good day.
You too. Drew Lerner is the senior ag meteorologist at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. And that's today's closing market report. You can join us tomorrow at 8:49 a.m. Central Time for our first look at the markets. And you can listen to today's futures analysis, the cash grain analysis, and the weather on our website. Go to WILLAG.org, WILLAG.org. I'm Tom Rogers.